Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hawk. We deal with the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales, the boxing history, and we travel the world for the past and the present and the future stars. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado who takes us on the magic carpet ride around the world looking for the things that are happening in boxing, our man, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Okay, yeah, good morning. Yes, I love those intros. Yeah, we will go around the world, yes. Got a few title fights going on around the world, too, some big stuff. And we also have that golden contract, the contest going on over in England, too, with the light heavyweight quarterfinals. We'll get into that, too. We'll play who's all going, because they didn't really know who they were fighting until Wednesday night. They had, like, a draw, and everybody kind of pulled their names out of hat to see who they were fighting. So, interesting thing going on there. Golden contract, been around for a while, big fight. So,
Before we get into that trip around the world, Bob, you know, we asked the boxing community and people to pray for a great champion who fought Muhammad Ali with only 8 fights after winning a gold medal in the 1976 Olympics, Leon Spinks. He's in the hospital in Las Vegas. He's in the ICU unit, and he needs some deep prayers. And hopefully the prayers that the community do rally him and ask the Lord of the world to give him strength and to keep him going, to keep him living. It's a sad
news, yeah.
And we pray for him. But, you know, Bob, you know, let's dig into it, because a lot of people are talking about this, the fight that happened last week before we take that trip.
Right.
With Luis, who was champion in a rematch fight with Anthony Joshua over in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. Anthony Joshua came out on top with a unanimous decision to get his belts back, and people were asking me my thoughts. My thought was this, and Bob Arum had made a statement, I believe it was yesterday, about the fight. He said the fight was a nothing fight. It wasn't a great fight. Bob Arum has a good point of view, but neither was Tyson Fury's fight. You forget that Bob Arum promotes Tyson Fury. So,
right.
You know, so sometimes you have that. There was a lot going on mentally with Anthony Joshua. But like I said last week, if that he was able to move and box, and when Luis got close to him, tie him up, hold him, take him for the loss, the cha-cha-cha, things like that. He would dance his way in the victory, and he did something that I didn't think he was going to be able to do, and to do it for 12 rounds. It wasn't colorful. It wasn't really, really exciting. You know what I mean? But a win
right.
is a win is a win. And when you get your title back, he did something that not too many fighters that are champion are able to do. In terms of guys that have done it before, Lennox Lewis, when he beat Oliver McCall, knocked Lennox Lewis out. Lennox Lewis was able to recapture the title by stopping Oliver McCall. If you remember that breakdown that Oliver McCall had in the fight, you know what I mean? It just
right.
all fell apart one night
right.
before Oliver McCall in the boxing ring. And the reason why I'm using that fight is because it looks like the same type of thing happened to Annalee Luiz. The holding and being champion is just too much, and especially when you win when nobody expects you to win the world. It's like a whirlwind, and it all comes down at you. And guys that weren't expected to be champ, and they end up champ even though they're fighting to be champion, sometimes it becomes a little bit too much for him, and for him to come into the fight at 283 pounds is just a little bit over the top for a champion on that level to come in like that. Remember, we were saying last week it was the Hershey bars,
the Snickers, the Snickers and the sombrero.
The Snickers
and the sombrero.
Yeah, but all of that came in the play, and
all of that
showed that it was a little bit too much. Those who fail to prepare to fail, and those who prepare for successes, that's what they got. There was a lot of mental things going on with Anthony Joshua. He had to work hard to overcome him mentally. Is he over the hump? It's going to help, but he still got a lot of soul searching, a lot of things to do, is to get himself back in that category. And, Klitschko, the same thing happened to him when Lehman Brewster knocked him out. And he used Klitschko as an example that he had talked to him, and that was somebody that he needed to talk to, because that's what happened to him, is when he got knocked out by Lehman Brewster. And then
right.
he had came back and knocked Lehman Brewster out. And we're talking about two great champions in Lennox Lewis and Klitschko. So is Anthony Joshua on the mark? It appears, it looks like, if he can hold himself together and stay dedicated, stay focused, and still work on the fundamental things of boxing. What we seen was somebody moving, sticking, but it was an exciting fight. And when you're boxing like that, you can always do much more, and he could have did much more in the fight. But he was doing enough in the fight to win, and Annalee Luiz was pressing and pressing and pressing, but you got to put punching pressure when a guy's sticking and moving like that. And then you have to step over, cut the ring off. When you cut the ring off, you got to bang. And at times he banged on the inside when he got on the inside, but Anthony Joshua was able to tie him up. And it looked like he had Anthony Joshua hurt a couple of times in the fight, as well as Anthony Joshua had stunned Annalee Luiz a few times with straight right hands in the fight. But a third fight, I don't think the people want it. I don't see it in the future, Bob. Give me some of your thoughts on what you thought, Bob.
Yeah, well, the two things you're talking about right there at the end. Yeah, I don't know about a third fight either, because they're getting pressure now. You know, the IBF, they want Pulev to fight Joshua, and the WBO is pushing Usyk. So these guys, these other organizations want somebody else. They don't want three straight Luiz fights. But here's the deal, too. Now, check this out, though. You know, we do have numbers, and you know, like we always said, the numbers come out when they look good. So the zone had 1.8 million worldwide streams, and 200,000 of those they attribute to the last couple of days before the fight. So they're talking about 200,000, which is a good number too. Now they also put in 1.6 million on the Sky pay-per-view too. We don't have any gate numbers, but right there you're talking about almost 3.5 million people watching the fight. So for kind of a boring fight, as it was called, you know, people watched it. But like, now what are they going to do? You know, it was like a lot of people watched just a whole hum fight. So I don't know where we go from there. But you know, somehow Deontay Wilder has to figure out how to get those kind of numbers.
Yeah,
Joshua can bring them in.
Yeah, because his numbers ain't matching up there, in the box office, as we call it, with 200 and some thousand pay-per-view buys. Yeah, it adds up in the millions, 20-some million dollars in sale, but the real deal with the real numbers, that where the big-time stars are at, you know, them numbers are nothing. Like I told you, Floyd Money Mayweather is still the pay-per-view man. He can bring in that 4.5 million, 3.5, you know, when it comes and adds up. It adds up pretty good in the box office. And with Tyson Fury coming in, let's see, you know, a lot of those pay-per-view buys for Anthony Joshua. He's a big star in Europe, in England, and that's where mostly all of those pay-per-view sales were probably at a large amount. But Anthony Joshua is he is a major star, and here's why. A major boxing star like Muhammad Ali and things like that, 50% of the people love you and 50% of the people hate you. They come to see you get your butt whooped, and 50% of the people want to see you win. When you're a 50-50 man, that means you're a real star. And that's what Anthony Joshua has become. Some people want to see him lose. Some people want to see him win. The same way with Mayweather. Some people want to see him win. Some people want to see him get his butt whooped. That's what makes a star. Whatever it is, you're an attraction. And whatever you're doing as champion, people want to see and people want to hear and people want to witness what happens. So, and that's good. And, Bob, those numbers for him are real good. And, you know, with this major announcement that Wilder and Fury deal is done, I think it's good for boxing.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be out in Vegas, yeah.
We'll get in the Crawford fight and what that means tonight on ESPN later on in the show. And we'll talk about some other things, some other heavyweight fights that were on the undercard, where most of the heavyweight division was on display on the top echelon. And what does that mean for boxing? And we'll get into that later on the show. But right now, Bob, take us on that magic carpet ride around the world, brother. Take us. What's all happening in the world of boxing around?
Hey, we're going to stay right there at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, Manhattan, New York City, USA, ESPN TV. Terrence Crawford, 35-0, 26 knockouts. Defends his WBO World Welterweight title against the DJ Mean Machine Kavalauskas, 21-0, 17 knockouts. Also in the cut feature, Richard Comey, 29-2, 26 knockouts, defends his IBF World Lightweight title against Brooklyn's own Teofimo Lopez, undefeated, 14-0, 11 KOs. In addition, in lightweights, George Kambosos Jr., 17-0, and Mickey Bay, 23-2-1, face off. And it's Josu Vargas, 15-1, versus Noel Murphy, 14-1-1, for the vacant IBF North American Super Lightweight crown. Zembo Shrine, right down the road in Harrisburg, PA, showcases 8-1 female super featherweight Aisha Baumgartner, while cruiserweight Caleb Ficker fights Lance Phillips. That's in Bellefontaine, Ohio. 7-0 middleweight Justin Biggs headlines in Vienna, Virginia. And heavyweight Moses Johnson, 5-0, is the key combatant in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Covington, Kentucky, highlights 10-2-1 featherweight Glenn Dessert. 6-0 Samuel Henderson and the 11-1-1 HC Solar vie for the open NABF junior flyweight strap in Indianapolis, Indiana, which also features a battle for the GBC World Super Middleweight bout between Keon Johnson, 27-10-1, and Les Charrington, 37-14. The ancient city of Tulum in Mexico hosts a fight for the WBC World Female Superfly crown between six-time defending champion Guadalupe Martinez Guzman, who's 19-9, and challenger Abani Baceras, who's 11-3-2. The welterweight clash between Ivan Alvarez, 29-10-1, and Lisandro de los Santos, 25-18-1, tops the card in Samoa, while in Qatar, it's bantamweight Vicente Falcone and Israel Robles squaring off. The Federal District of Mexico City will see Dante Jardin, 31-6, cross the roads with Chester Parada Perales. Two venues on the Baja Peninsula, first in Ensenada, 26-1 super welterweight Carlos Ocampo steps in with Adolfo Mauricio Moreschi, who's 11-4, while in Mexicali, 23-3, super feather Roger Gutierrez takes on Andres Tapia, 16-7-3. It's Martin Diaz versus Bayon Perez in the super bantamweight finale in Sandino, Nicaragua. And down in Davie, Panama, it's the Felix Montenegro versus Edgar Valencia bantamweight contest at the top of that bill. Ricardo Hernandez and Fabio Perez duke it out in Girardeau, Colombia for the country super lightweight stop. And Arturo Leyva and Eva Bravo tangle for the light heavyweight belt. And it's Ivan Redemoso fighting Luis Diaz Marmol for the lightweight crown. Juan Corine in Chile ends their show with the Junior Cruza. This is Rodrigo Areco, featherweight tussle. Sao Paulo, Brazil hosts a doubleheader of Brazilian title fights. With up-and-coming 20-year-old Jonathan Cordeiro, he's 11-0, all 11 wins by knockout. Slugs it out with Dion Rodriguez, 9-1 for the light heavyweight title. And Rubens, pick that lightweight title. And Rubens Diego Dos Santos, 8-0, curves punches with Enrico da Silva Barbosa for the vacant bantamweight strap. That's on Brazil TV, Bandeirante. Argentina Tyson Sports TV will be in Gobernador Galvez, Santa Fe, Argentina, to see hometown hero Daniela Romina Bermudez, 26-3-3, defend her WBO World Female Bantamweight crown against Marianela Soledad Ramirez. Super Lady Showcase is 18-1 super welterweight Abel Argentina Vidal and a flyweight Bautista Lihu Gonzalez and Maximiliano Oscar Inarde do battle in Buenos Aires' Federal District. Mar del Plata hosts the Omar Ricas versus Claudio Alberto Martin in Salade lightweight contest. Over now to Europe, to the UK, to the Brentwood Center in Essex, where the Golden Contract light heavyweight quarterfinals will take place, broadcast by Sky TV and streamed on ESPN+. And as we mentioned earlier, the eight fighters didn't know who they were fighting until Wednesday. But here's the lineup. It's Bob Agassafe. He's 19-3, 9 KOs versus Hosea Burton, 24-1, 11 KOs. And we also have Tommy Philbin versus Serge Michel, Stephen Ward versus Ricard Velotnik. And also we have Andre Sterling versus Liam Conroy. Also, 10-0 Dan Aziz and the 9-0-1 Lawrence Usyk vied for the vacant WBC English light heavyweight title. Then a rare call in Bethnal Green, London, will witness Classic Kademi and Pedro Matos clash for the open WBO European super flyweight belt. Also of note, we have middleweight Bill Underwood crossing the roads with Kevin McCauley, whose record now stands at 15 wins, 200 losses, and 12 draws. I'd like to bring attention to these guys over in England that just keep fighting. 200 losses, but keep going, buddy. The female bantamweight belt between Amy Timlin and Claudia Ferenzi tops the night in Bolton, Lancashire. 13-4 lightweight Maddie Fagan is showcased in Heaton, Merseyside. On the mainland in Tours, France, light heavies Maurice Posidi and Martin Owono face off. Valentin is the site of the Mateo Hayes versus Hussein Wallahi middleweight matchup. And San Denis features the Dallas Miko Taha versus Soleil Tavo super lightweight topper. While over in San Juan, it's the Hassan Hazim versus Rati Magriouli super light contest. That ends the night there. Undine Ezequiel Guerra, 12-0, fights 9-4 Johnny Vina for the vacant Spanish super welterweight belt in Zaragoza, Aragon, Spain. Finally, Tyler Noriega and Dionis Martinez clash in Villarreal, while in Bilbao, it's Aaron Alhambra and Alex Vega, now the welterweight combatant in that finale. And heavyweight stop the bill in Lazio, Italy, where Ficarra Bassi steps in with Rizzardo Valentino and has Lucas Serrano versus Velsko Petrovic in the super featherweight main event in Derwente in Piedmont. 22-1-1 featherweight Luca Rivaldi steps in with Spartak Sangiulia in the headliner in Povera in Veneto. Basel, Switzerland highlights the female super bantamweight bout between Maja Milankovic and Namek Bokadze, while in Fribourg, 6-1 Bernard Huber and the 8-0 Sayed Zamayli both seek the open Swiss cruiserweight crown. Karlsruhe in Baden-Württemberg, Germany, they'll have a fight tonight witnessing Sarah Bormann, 11-0, and Lotto Lurkin, 6-0, fighting for the women's IBF, the GBU female, and the WBF female world light flyweight titles. A couple of vacant titles up for grabs tonight. Powell and Nordrhein Westfalen with Gurney Arcot 6-0 and Danny Williams 53-28 fighting for the General International GBA heavyweight belt. Granite Stein 13-0-1 crossing with Zomer Gonzalez for the WBU German version European light heavyweight crown. Oberhausen headlines with the female superweight contest pitting 18-6-2 Maria Lindbergh against Maria Katunashvili as the super middleweight Liz Lumbergami and Ida Zambach slugging it out in Hamburg. Broken titles for the taking also tonight in Elmshorn, Schleswig Holstein with Mark Dooley and Adnan Ozikabon seeking the UBO International Middleweight Belt. Lyra Auckland and Kim Angelina Jaco clashing for the German GBA female featherweight crown and Riza Begiri versus Eric Schwartman for the Germany GBA heavyweight strap. Kozuzera Poland headlines Nika Domzuzewski 17-0-1 versus Tomasz Modai 20-12-2 cruiserweight matchup. 14-0 Kozel Pulev and 12-2-2 Deshaun Webster fight for the Open WBA International Cruiserweight Championship in Plovdiv, Bulgaria. Up now to Helsinki, Finland. Two bantams, Jose Antonio Sanchez-Romero and Dmytro Kostenko duke it out in the finale there. And the light heavyweight showdown between Denis Dovzhan and John Forsman is the main event in Kakava, Latvia. Anna Levina and Serafina Julius vie for the vacant IBA World Female Flyweight Crown in Moscow, Russia. And down now to Cape Town, South Africa, where the featured bout is the Ruwan Visser 18-2 versus 8-0 TN Fit Heavyweight Showdown. In Oceania, the Scope CSC versus Vesson Tesei middleweight bout closes the show at Otahuhu, New Zealand, and middleweight Ziyami Liza Aad headlined in Auckland. Melbourne, Australia will see Jason Wertley 6-0 and Daniel Russell 7-1-2 compete for the Australian cruiserweight belt. It's Chris Paulino 20-4. Taking on Matteo Hamdick for the Open Philippines Games and Amusement Board Superfly title in the main event in Paranaque City in Metro Manila, Philippines. Berger and Cebu tops their night with the Super Bantamweight battle between Gio Santosimo, 16-2, and the 20-win, 9-loss, and 1-draw Rene Dakar. Kyohei Tonomoto, 9-2, fights Ryotaro Morihashi, 9-1, for the Japanese youth featherweight strap in the topper in Osaka, Japan. And Tenkai Tsunami, 26-12-1, defends her WBO World Female Light Flyweight Crown in the main event in Kagoshima. There we go, 24 countries, still some action as we are closing in on the end of the year. We'll start thinning out a little bit, but there we go. A couple of nice, good female world title fights happening tonight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting busy. I guess people need holiday money, Bob. You know.
Right.
Yeah. We're only like maybe 10, 11 days from Christmas, right?
Right. It's the 14th, yeah. So, yeah, 11 days. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jingle bells. Santa's on his way. Over time it is to ride in the one horse open sleigh, right?
So, there you go.
Well, there was a lot of things happening. If we can, Bob, if we can jump right back into what we were talking about over there in Saudi Arabia on the undercard. You know, Mike the Bounty Hunter, who was in with Pavlo, they fought to a draw. I thought Mike the Bounty Hunter had at least won by one or two rounds in the fight. It was a close fight. It was hardly fought. Mike the Bounty Hunter came out in the first round, had Povetkin hurt. It looked like he was going to stop him. And then, you know, Povetkin come back in 3 and 4. Mike the Bounty Hunter overcame that, and then he was back at the task. But what a great fight, great performance on both of them. And it shows that both of them are top of the line when it comes to the heavyweight division, and they should be fighting at the title, in position for the title. But in those mandatories for Anthony Joshua now, one of those guys is Usyk, you know, who...
At WBO, one's Usyk, yeah. They have him number one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a terrific fight for one of those, for Anthony Joshua. But look, where that big money's at, You have to seize the moment and seize the timing. And it looks like the heavyweight division is back in line again, where they let it slip by, be getting tune-up fights, and the tune-up fights turned out to get tuned out, where they have to get tuned back in, Bob. So,
exactly.
So with that, you know, we want to say that the heavyweight division with that one, and Dillon White, you know, he won a unanimous decision. However, he's talking about being put back in the mandatory for the WBC after being tested, not cleared yet, Bob. That test is still on the whims of things. So, I think from my perspective, I think the WBC should make him take a drug test all over again. And after that fight, I don't know if he did or if he didn't, but if he clears that, then he should be in the work. But now the politics of boxing, with all of this happening with Anthony Joshua, now it all comes back into play. It's going to be heavily politic on that heavyweight division, but it's being talked about again, and that's a good thing for boxing.
Yes, it is. Definitely being talked about. I know. It's great to hear in the buzz. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to point out, we talked about Crawford fighting tonight. Bob Arum also came out this week, and he's saying Errol Spence Jr. is not as good shape as we think he is. You know, we were talking about that before. You spent 4 days in ICU, you know, for your face lacerations. And I don't know, you know, what's happening there. But Bob Arum seems to think he's not going to fight, in his words, the foreseeable future, talking about into 21 even, too. So, you know, a lot of people are looking for a Spence-Crawford fight. And, of course, it all depends what Crawford does today. And that's actually going to be right after the Heisman Trophy presentation, too, the fights in Madison Square Garden tonight, too. But, yeah, we'll see what Crawford does tonight. But he might end up with Porter possibly after this. But, you know, again, it's one of those guys nobody wants to fight, it's being sometimes, too, with Crawford.
Yeah, well, Crawford's biting at the bit from pound to pound. You know, and
right,
you're biting at the bit, you know, to put him in that time slot. I guess they're looking to get some eyeballs on Terrence Crawford. He can outright fight, you know, but
oh, yeah,
a fight is a fight, and he's in the fight tonight, so he can't take that for granted. You got to go in and perform like he's been performing, and hopefully that he can make a splash and a hit. He's one of those type of fighters. Like Dante Wilder, he wants, you know, he can fight, but he needs some publicity, a PR agent or something. You know, the boxing aficionados and the boxing people know who he is, but the general public hasn't put the hook, line, and sinker on him where he's becomes a major star. But Bob, let me tell you, is this Henry Hathcock hanging in the wings, or? Hello?
Yep, that's me.
What's that?
our boss is
doing,
Bob? Henry Hathcock. Do you
hear
Bob?
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, we want to talk about the Ring 8. You know, it was something magnificent up there. The food had lived up to the bill. It was jam-packed. We bring the Jack Johnson exhibit up there, and, man, it was basically standing room only in that Ring 8. But, Henry, you know, y'all dropped a heavy surprise on me up there. I had no idea what was coming. Give us a little details about the history of Ring 8 and what this historical historian award means.
Well, Ring 8 actually got started in 1953. I mean, they had some of the great old-timers as members. Even Jack Dempsey, he used to come all the time to these events. And over the years, we've had, you know, all the world champions, you know, from, let's say, Mike Tyson and, you know, let's see, last year we had Crawford, like you were talking about Crawford. He was there last year being honored. So it's really a fantastic organization. I know, you know, one person is kind of bad-mouthing Ring 8, saying, where does the money go? It doesn't go, you know, to the right people. But just this year, you know, I'm just talking about this year. This year, they gave to the funeral of Rocky Lockridge, and they gave quite a bit. So did the IBF and the WBC and the ABC and New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. Then another time, was a two-time heavyweight champion of the world that you know, that needed you know, a couple thousand dollars to get back on his feet and get a car running and some bills. And Ring 8 and New Jersey Hall of Fame, you know, paid the whole bill. And there was other ones that they, a former featherweight champion of the world, he needed money just to stay in his house. He was back on his rent for several months, and Ring 8 picked the bill up there. And, of course, medical bills, food, rent, you know, just the regular stuff during the course of the year. And, you know, even they even support the amateur program with the amateur boxing, you know, gyms around the state. You know, they give either equipment or money to these organizations. So when some people say, you know, we don't do nothing with the money, that's a big lie, because Ring 8 has always stepped up when somebody needed some financial aid. Now, last Sunday we had our, you know, big event, and of course I kept it from you, Aaron, that you were going to be one of the honorees. You know, you know, in fact, when the awards came in and I had to put the plates on and I had to put yours on, I actually turned it around. So in case you came up, you weren't going to see your name on the plate, you know. But it was a well-deserved award. I mean, you know, people that don't know, you know, at the age of 23, you were a trainer in the corner of Tim Witherspoon when he won the heavyweight championship of the world, when he beat Greg Page, and that was the youngest trainer ever to do so. And of course, what you did with Frankie Randall, you know, you trained him when he fought the undefeated Julio Cesar Chavez. Chavez hadn't lost in his 90 professional fights, and you know, you were in a corner for Randall, and made that game plan to perfection. And of course, Chavez had his first loss, and of course you trained Mike Tyson. I guess it was the Bruno fight, first one, and then you know, all the way to the Douglas fight, and another excellent job by you. So when you know, your name came up, you know, Bob Duffy of Ring 8 and the president of Ring 8, Charlie Norcus, we all decided that you're coming up anyway. I said, you know, so we all decided that we should give you some kind of an award, and we gave you that Boxing Historian Award. I mean, I received that award a couple of years ago from Ring 8, and it's really nice. I mean, a big boxing glove, and, you know, it's pretty heavy, and, you know, it's a nice nice gesture. I mean, you've trained over, you know, 30 world champions, so I mean, that's just great.
Yeah, that's a mark.
Yeah. And
yeah.
You
well,
up.
Well, Bob, it was a shocker, is because I don't know how you arranged it, but some of your board members were over looking at the exhibit, the Jack Johnson exhibit, and I was talking to them. And the rap song that we have, the young man, Stephen, rapping the whole Jack Johnson boxing history, right? They were listening to it. And Brother Yusuf, who was with me, he's saying, go up to the stage. Bob Duffy and Henry, they want to see you. They want to talk to you about something. I said, hold on, let me finish what I'm saying. He said, no, get up there.
Well, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. I walked over, you know, I talked to you a little bit. Then I went over to him, and I'm saying,
right,
listen, you know, Aaron's going to get a special award pretty soon. And I says, I want you to go over by the Jack Johnson exhibit and just just stay there by it, because it's, you know, you never know, you know, somebody could do something. You know, I just wanted him to guard it more or less and take your place. And I say, he said, when are you going to do that? And I'm saying, within a couple of minutes. I says, as soon as that the intermission is over, I says, I'm going to bring Aaron up. So you go over there now, and I'm going to walk up, and I'm going to get Duffy, and we're going to make that presentation. So, you know, Yusef just, you know, I seen him sitting in your chair in the back, and I seen you walking up, and I said, okay, let's start. You know, so we went into our presentation,
yeah.
And I know it was a surprise to you, you know, for that. So it was really, really nice to, you know, finally, you know, I know we gave you, you know, the Boxing Hall of Fame in New Jersey, the award a couple of years ago. You know, we did that. And, of course, you got the National Boxing Hall of Fame award also. But this was like a surprise to you. And, you know, I could see your face, you know, saying, what's going on? You know, and then,
yeah,
and,
yeah, it was like, you know, I'm hard to not be able to come speechless. But Bob, I didn't know what was going on, Bob. Bob Duffy said, go over there and stand for a second. I'll be right over to talk to you. Next thing, Henry jumps up on the mic and he starts talking to me. I said, what in the hell? I said, what's going on? Bob Duffy tells me, come on up. I'm like, and then they're standing there putting the trophy in my hand, and Henry saying, stand here, take the picture. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like trying to put it on because, you know, Darryl Peoples, the president of IBF, and Iran Barkley and Junior Jones, Tim Witherspoon, you know, all of them. I'm like, I said, what's going on? My name wasn't on here, you know. It was something that startled me.
Well,
but
about a week before the event, you know, Bob Duffy called me up and asked me if we should put the you know, your name in the book as one of the honorees, and I'm saying, well, that'll spoil it. If he looks into the journal, he's going to find out he's one of the honorees. I says, you have the Jack Johnson one, though. You know, we could put that one in, you know, just about the Jack Johnson exhibit. I said, you know, the same thing happened to my wife. You know, they also honored the wives of the board members of Ring 8, and I kept it from my wife. You know, and I put in a couple of ads, one from the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame and one for myself. And the ad book was sitting there in front of us, and she was ready to look at it. I said, well, do me a favor, just put it in your pocketbook. I don't want to lose them, you know. So she put them in her pocketbook. And then I had to get up to do the MC job, and everything was going along good until Steve Weisfeld, the boxing judge that's been on your show, he's probably the best boxing judge in the world right now, and he sat in my seat, you know, next to my wife, and I could see he's talking to my wife, and, you know, later on I found out he was congratulating her, and she says, for what? you know, he says, well, you're one of the honorees, and he says, no, I'm not. He says, yeah, it's in the book. So she gets the book out, she looks in front, I don't see my name here. You know, look all over. He said, no, no, no. He says, you know, go through the whole pages. You'll see a couple of pictures of you. He says, what? You know, she looks, and I can see her face. You know, she, like, uh-oh, you know, am I going to have to speak? You know, she was shocked as much as Aaron. I know the last time she was honored, you know, she talks all day. I mean, at home, you know, talks on the phone, put a microphone in her mouth in front of her, and she gets like some kind of lockjaw, you know. So I said last time she was honored, she said, "What do you think I should say?" Well, you know, thank everybody, blah blah blah. So I got up there and I said, "Listen." I said, is he going to make this speech? She practiced for 4 months on this speech. I told her to write it down, but she don't want to. She wants to do it like me without any notes and just to, you know, thank everybody, you know, and tell it, you know, whatever she wants to say. She practiced 4 months on this. She gets up there and says, "Thank you very much," and walks off. and that was it. So you weren't the only one that was surprised, you know, several of the ladies. But that was a good gesture by Ring 8 and the president, Charlie Norcus, and Bob Duffy. But we had other honorees, you know. You know, we had Lefty Gonzalez, who was like 10-0. He was a prospect of the year. Then we have a guy whose name would probably scare people, but he had 38 pro fights. He got he's the owner of KO Boxing in West Hempstead. He got the Community Service Award, and his name is Michael Corleone. Same thing as the Godfather. You know, so, you know, years ago there was a guy I knew, and I used to say the same thing about him. You know, his name used to scare his opponents half to death. His name was Al Capone, you know. So, you know, goes in the same thing. But then you had Michael Biggie O'Connor. He was official of the year. He's the chief official of USA Metro, who was there for just about ever. Of course, Adam Kornowski, you know, he was our fight of the year. He's rated as high as number 8 in the world by Ring Magazine. He's 20-0 with 15 knockouts. He had Waleska Rodan, who's our official of the year. She's done fights with Fury, Wilder, Pacquiao, and Amanda Serrano. And, of course, Nisa Rodriguez. She got our amateur boxer of the year. She's a lady, and she's an 8-time New York Golden Glove champion. And, of course, we had Junior Jones, who needs really no introduction, in a multi-time world champion who beat Marco Antonio Barbera, giving him his first loss, and then he fought him again and gave him his second loss. Then, of course, Iran Barkley, he was, you know, champion, multi-time champion also, and he's the only guy to ever beat Tommy the Hitman Hearns, not once but twice. And you have Kevin Conley, who was our manager of the year. He managed Danny Jacobs and Marcus Brown and of course, Kornowski. Then we had James Mataverdi. He was our member of the year. He's the editor of True Fan Boxing. He's been a member for over 30 years. Then we had John Capianco, who fought guys like Richie Cates and Bobby Cassidy. He's our uncrowned champion. Darryl Peoples, he's the IBF president since 2010. He got a long and notorious service award. And, you know, he was the one that gave $5,000 to actually the IBF gave $5,000 to the funeral of Rocky Lockridge. So, he does an outstanding job. Of course, we have the trainer of the year. He's in Westbury Boxing Gym. You know, that's Scott Lopek. Then we have a guy that takes a lot of the pictures for Ring 8 for years. He's always behind the camera, but this time he had to go in front of the camera. He got the Good Guy Award, and when he was speaking, you know, he's not used to being in front of the camera. His voice was like cracking because he wasn't used to public speaking. And, you know, it was kind of amusing to me to see him up there in that position. But that was Peter Fukoff.
Hello.
Then, of course, we had Randy Gordon. Yeah, we
I'm
had
on
Randy
the line.
Gordon.
I'm on the air calling to the show.
He had Randy Gordon. He was the editor of Ring Magazine, and he was a ring announcer, New York State commissioner, and, of course, Jerry Cooney. He's the guy that stopped Jimmy Young, Ron Lyle, and Ken Norton. They both got the Sam Kellerman Media Awards. Then, we had your buddy, Tim Witherspoon, you know, 2-time heavyweight champion of the world. He got the Muhammad Ali Award. And then Amanda Serrano, she's a 7-division world champion from the super flyweight all up to super lightweight. She was the first woman ever to win any Fighter of the Decade Award. And she was, you know, really a class act. Yes. Her record is like 37-1-1 with 27 knockouts, and you know, if you look at her that day, you know, usually look at her in, you know, boxing trunks and everything, sweating and everything. But this time she was all dressed up and, you know, talking about a knockout. She was a knockout that day. So, but, you know, and of course we did honor all the wives and or girlfriends of Ring 8 board members. And of course, Aaron Snowell, you know, he was like the big one. We honored him, and he made a great speech about, you know, Muhammad Ali and Tim Witherspoon, and it went over really, really well. And like I said, Ring 8 does a great job each and every year.
Yeah, it does. You know, year after year, to do such a thing, to have a big dinner in honor for people that participate in boxing is always a great thing to receive these type of awards. You know, it takes you a long way, and it shows that your work's not in vain. But you can't do things by yourself, and you don't receive awards by yourself. You know, each week in and week out, Bob Murray here, we go in and we dig into boxing news along with yourself as we bring people boxing news, legend tales, and the history of boxing. And that's a sure enough commitment. And I like to thank you and Bob. I mean, so
yeah,
many people...
Well,
talking to me about this show and how much
it means. You know, Bob, you know, I always admire the way he can pronounce all these names from, you know, Russia and Japan. And, you know, I have no idea if he has it right, but he sure...
Yeah, but he
sure puts
he
a good show on anyway. But you know, I wish I could just come close to saying them words, and he just rattles them off like no tomorrow. And you know Bob Murray should be honored one of these days of what he has done, you know, and what he is doing. Not only this show, but
yeah,
in the past.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, I just wanted to apologize, too, Aaron Ellis and Henry, too, while I have you on here, too. Yeah, I'm glad we could start my car to take off on Sunday morning, and the foot on the brake goes right to the floor. Turns out I had a big old hole in my brake line, so that kind of, you know, was a bummer. I was really disappointed not being able to make it, and just hearing you guys having a great time is cool. But yeah, so I mean, it was just one of those things. He's certainly not going to drive in New York City without a brakes.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of was like, bummer, you know, really. But yeah, it's getting fixed and all that. So hopefully, you know, next time. And I just want to also, you know, thank Bob Duffy, too, for the invitation. You know, it was just one of those things I wasn't able to make it.
But God willing, there'll be many, many more opportunities. But Henry Haskopf, you hang right there. If you can, is because our next guest, and I'm going to see if you know this name that he's going to drop on you, Abibullah Saleem. Welcome to the World Boxing Review radio show. How you doing?
Thank you very much, bro. Thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity.
Oh, yeah, he was
right
there.
Before we get into this, tell a little bit about who your brother is, and we're going to see if Henry Haskopf knows this person. Abibullah, just say a little bit about your brother.
My brother was Lloyd Marshall. He was being trained by George Branch. And he fought.
I know Lloyd.
Lloyd Marshall. He fought Roberto Durant, and he fought Ismael Laguna.
Yeah, he... He's from New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir. Newark, New Jersey.
Yep. I know him. I know him very well. In fact, I met him at one of the diners because he wanted a Hall of Fame jacket, and I brought it over to him. We inducted him into our Hall of Fame, you know, New Jersey Hall of Fame, many years ago. Every time he's at an event, I always announce him because he was a great. He was an outstanding fighter, and you're right, he fought some of the best around, you know, and, you know, it's it's really, really nice that, you know, you're on, because guys like your brother, you know, most people forget about, and we shouldn't do that. You know, we should bring these guys on, or the relatives on, and, you know, and let them, you know, let people know who the heck these guys are, because they need all the accolades they can get. You know, because Lloyd Marshall was rated in from 1967 and 1970 in the lightweight division. He was rated as high as number 5 in the world, you know, by Ring Magazine. So,
you got it. You got it.
I mean, there's not too many people.
And
can say that.
I just want to inform you that he's a relative of ours. Of mine, in my family.
Oh, geez. Oh, I got to watch what I say.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But Beebler here was married to my sister, Gail, my older sister. Beebler here. Yeah, here, Beebler, him and Larry Hazard went to school together. Beebler was a teacher in North. Him and Larry Hazard went to the same school, grew up together and everything. But Habibullah was a tutor to Muhammad Ali's children, his older children, Maymay and them, when Ali was there in New Jersey and stuff like that. But Habibullah, you know, just give us some of that Muhammad. He used to sit and do poetry with Muhammad Ali. Give us that Muhammad Ali poem if he can.
It says, I'll just give you a little bit of it. Let me see if I got first of all, I want to make sure I give praise and thanks to our Creator, man, for blessing me and blessing all of us to be on this show together like this so we can share the kind of information that we're sharing. And it is most needed and it is most beneficial. So I just want to thank you once again for allowing me to be on the show. Having grew up with Muhammad Ali, taught his children, and was able to convince him to pull his children out of the school over in Philadelphia and become students at the school where I was the principal in Camden, New Jersey. Anyway, I put a piece together. It says, a major birthday, a champ well known, in and out the ring, he maintained his throne. Born to be amazing at the top of the list, using his mind as well as his fists, beating his opponents, a mission real clear, the all-time greatest without any fear, knowing quite early the talent he had, knocking out fighters, so many so mad, beyond diamonds and precious pearls, the all-time greatest, he shocked the world. From Cassius Clay, he changed his name. Muhammad Ali, he changed the game. Committed he was, he did it his way. His honorable achievements are here to stay. At the age of 18, the world amazed, his Olympic gold medal setting the stage. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, jabbing and punching while leaving no slack, seeking one day a major contract. Wasting no time to always advance, elusive as can be, he moved and danced, floating like a butterfly, genuine, thinking, training, an innovative mind, whatever it took to be number one, a new style of boxing, he got it done, using clever rhymes and taunting jokes, winning fans from coast to coast, moving to the top with amazing skills, fans in attendance, he would always thrill. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, Dusty, defeating Sonny Liston, diffusing his power, Ali, Ali, the people yell louder, strategies galore, Muhammad real bold, the greatness of Ali still being told, Joe Frazier, Joe Foreman, it really didn't matter, Ali most masterful, climbed the ladder. In 1970, it was Jerry Quarry, he talked a big game, he was definitely sorry. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Mistreatment in America he wouldn't accept. To go to Vietnam he refused to step. Because of his refusal, they took his crown. Being who he was, he never stayed down. Thriller in Manila, rumble in the jungle, falling to the canvas, it was more than a stumble. Ali, Ali, history had been made. The all-time greatest, the road was paved. Birthday number 70, we all celebrate. A boxing genius, amazingly great. Encouraging students to always go to school, live with respect, obey the rules. Knocking out illiteracy, promoting education, people out of poverty, Ali's destination. Making his prayers, facing the east, Ali as a Muslim for a world of peace. Finally, from boxing, he decided to retire. The birthday of a champion we will always admire. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Wow.
Oh, wonderful. That's
I think I heard you say that before at an event. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure, you know, I heard you say something in a poem years ago similar to that, if not that. You know, that's great, even the way you say it. I mean, it's really, really nice, really nice. That's it.
Well, that's one of the most important things is presentation. How
yes.
you present.
Yes. Well, you
yeah.
you,
and,
did. You had a grand slam. You just hit a grand slam.
Yeah. Well, we want to work on it. We want to put it out there. We got to get it out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's
well,
out there now. How many countries we went to today, Bob?
Say what
now?
24.
24 countries.
24 countries and around the world, people are always. Tune in from South America, Australia, Germany, England, Japan, Canada. You know, they're down there in the Caribbean. You know,
Argentina.
People tune in
yeah.
all over the world, over the internet. So it's out there now. But, you know, there's so many stories and so much told. You know, at the training camp in Deer Lake, I used to witness Abdullah and Muhammad Ali sit at the table and go at it and rap. Ali would say something and he'll come back and you
oh,
know
yeah.
Ali was something special and when it came to rapping and Abdullah being a great teacher with children, you know, in New Jersey, Abdullah took children that were problem children that people gave up on them, said they couldn't read, and things like that. Give us a little bit about that phonics stuff that you do with children of people.
Well, you know, youngsters are very curious, and oftentimes they are penalized for being curious, you know, because they're taught taking things apart and putting things back together. But when they see people, when they see them taking something apart, they want to punish them because they say they're acting up. But really, they're acting out, you know, their curiosity. So what I've done is caused youngsters to become scientists and surgeons of vocabulary by taking words apart and putting them back together. So they have to learn the sounds of the alphabet as a child would start off speaking. The child doesn't start off saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. He starts off saying A, B, C, D, F, F, G, H, I. So they start speaking with sounds, because that's how youngsters first start learning. They start learning from hearing things. And so they have the sounds. Abracadabra, ha-ija-ka-lamina-pa-kura-sata-ava-wa-sa-ya-za-sha-wa-cha-ta. So they say it's like A is the name and A is the sound. B is the name and B is the sound. So once they get it down pat, they can start taking words like astonishing, Aster Ana Ishering, beautiful. Do it again. Aster Ana Ishering, slide it. Astonishing, word, astonishing. Or they can take cardiovascular, K-R-D-E over as K-U-L-R, slide it. Cardiovascular, word, cardiovascular. It deals with the heart.
Okay,
so
hold it right there,
because
the show's going so fast. We got 90 seconds. Give us, you
hey,
said you
hey,
had
what,
something
but,
special
but,
for
let
us.
Let me just ask
hey, come
me
on
just ask
with it.
Question. Yeah, let me.
Yeah.
Where do you live right now, and what do you do for a living?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I do for a living is what I do is go into schools when they allow me to go in, and I do motivational talks into schools. I go into jailhouse. I'm an independent person. I always say I'd rather be a thin dog free to roam the street than to be a fat dog tied to a fence. So I'm free to work with whomever that wants to help promote me and get me out there because the youngsters need
yeah,
to hear
well,
from
you're
me.
Being promoted. Give us what that thing, because we got 30 seconds. You said you had something special for the World Boxing Review. Give it to us. You got 26 seconds.
The World Boxing Review? the future of our youth. Let's see, we're about to how damaging it can be when people forget how forgiven rewards the test. The impact of World Boxing Review. How many are prepared to do what we must do? The circle of love or the circle of revenge? Acts of kindness among the greatest trends. The circle of love, the circle of hate? World Boxing Review? To not fall for the bait. Knowing what occurred, remembering the past. How effective we can be, can travel. We must not give out a gas. It is not how much we know, but how much do we care?
Very good.
Thank you, Steve, and a universal greetings of Assalamu Alaikum in English. Peace be on to you, brother. And thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
And my Aaron, name you is are Aaron awesome, Snow man. You are absolutely awesome.
Thank you. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado takes us around the world in the magic carpet ride. And our great, great boxing historian, always reaching, always teaching, our man, Henry Haskopf. Thank you.
All right. See you next week, y'all. Bye.
Okay. Take care.